Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, bringing you a special programme focusing on Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral journey to Australia on the occasion of the 23rd World Youth Day, currently taking place in Sydney. A Youth Day which has as theme, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses." Taken from the words spoken by Jesus himself to the apostles, it's a theme being explored right now in Sydney, with a focus on young people being empowered to be witnesses of the gospel in the modern world. And indeed, it's a theme on the minds of some of the young people in Sydney right now. Let's listen to their voices for a moment.
Hi, I'm Moringa from Namibia. I think this is really a great blessing to be here, especially the theme chosen that you will receive power when the Spirit comes was the greatest thing they could think about.
For whatever reason, we seem to look for our needs in the world, and the Pope is letting us know that Jesus is the only thing we need, and everything else will be in its right place if we look to Him first.
Yeah, I think the Pope is representative of all Catholics around the world.
What do you remember about what he said yesterday? Is there anything that stuck in your mind?
He spoke about all Catholics, but not only Catholics, all people of faith around the world, and even those without faith. And he spoke in a very inclusive way to include everybody and give people sort of, I don't know, in a way, the Spirit, even if they don't believe what you believe.
He just greeted the people of the world. He's so friendly. He's looking for unity. What can I say?
Andrew, are you proud of the fact that World Youth Day is happening in your city?
Yes, sir. It allows us to rejuvenate the church with all the different people coming here. People are seeing Catholics all around the place. So it allows them to see exactly what type of a faith we have. And in allowing them to see the faith we have, they know that we are united and that they are free to join the Catholic faith as well. Notre Seigneur, nous t'adorons. Pain de vie.
Though the Pope arrived in Australia on July the 13th, dedicating the first few days to some quiet rest in the stunning Blue Mountains, where, as we all know, he was introduced to some of the local wildlife, including koalas and crocodiles. An occasion which provided a perfect photo opportunity for the news-starved media who'd accompanied the Holy Father to Australia. But there have been plenty of photo opportunities since then, beginning with the formal welcome with 21-gun salute at Sydney's Government House, where on Thursday, July the 17th, the Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, welcomed the Pope as an apostle of peace. And then, even more so later on in the day, the welcome ceremony with young people at Sydney Harbour, where the Pope boarded a cruiser together with an eclectic group of young people from all continents, guiding across the harbour from Rose Bay to Barangaroo. As our correspondent there, Sean Patrick Lovett, put it, watching this ceremony was like looking at a series of picture postcards strung together in sequence, from the iconic harbour bridge to the architectural wonder of the Opera House, the glittering city skyline in the distance, and the multicoloured tapestry of young people waving and cheering from the shore. But all that was on Thursday. As Sean tells us, on Friday too there was time for one photo opportunity. That's after the ecumenical and interfaith meetings at St. Mary's Cathedral. Let's listen.
Jesus,
It was the only real photo opportunity of the morning, at least as far as journalists covering World Youth Day were concerned. The Pope sitting down to lunch and a chat with 12 young people representing all five continents and Australia. Too bad they weren't invited. The informal repast was closed to the press, so they had to make do with following two other morning events, most of them considered hardly newsworthy at all. The Pope's meeting in St. Mary's Cathedral with representatives of other Christian churches and with leaders of other religious traditions. In reality, both meetings were more important than might first appear, depending on who you're working for, in terms of content and form. As Rabbi Jeremy Lawrence said when he addressed the Pope, for his Jewish forefathers, such an encounter as today's would have been unthinkable, beyond their imagination. He went on to stress the positive progress made in Catholic-Jewish relations from the Second Vatican Council through to John Paul II and beyond.
We recall in particular the humanity and wisdom of Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul II. We reflect upon the landmark of Nostra Aetate, whose 40th anniversary we celebrated in October 2005 at my synagogue, the Great Synagogue, just across the park. It was our pleasure then to host a number of your distinguished cardinals, amongst them Cardinal Cassidy, whose personal contribution to interfaith work and whose excellent relations with our Jewish community have helped to chart these new, positive, and fraternal paths. We recall, too, the significant acknowledgement by your predecessor that anti-Semitism is a sin with no place in Catholicism, no place in civilization. We welcome his endorsement that at all levels of Christian instruction and education, be it teaching, preaching, or dramatization, Catholic teaching presents Jews and Judaism in an honest and objective manner, free from prejudices and without any offenses, an awareness of our common heritage.
Both he and Sheikh Mamadou Salim praised the World Youth Day initiative. Over the past few days, said the Islamic leader, we've heard young people saying, let us promote a fundamentalism of love instead of a fundamentalism of hatred. A powerful slogan indeed.
We listen to the youth saying, let us promote fundamentalism of love instead of fundamentalism of hatred. My greatest hope is may your respectful eminence be the inspiration of love, justice, and peace for the 500,000 youth who have congregated here to celebrate their faith with your eminence and many more millions all over the world.
In response, the Pope spoke highly of Australia's respect for freedom of religious expression and for the right to worship according to conscience and to act upon the ethical convictions that stem from belief.
A harmonious relationship between religion and public life is also more important at a time when some people have come to consider religion as a cause of division rather than as a force for unity.
He also returned to the, by now familiar, theme of the environment.
Men and women are led to regard the environment as a marvel to be pondered and respected rather than a commodity for mere consumption.
During the meeting with about 15 representatives of other Christian faiths, including Anglicans, Orthodox and Reformed churches, the Pope made no secret of the fact that the ecumenical movement has reached, as he put it, a critical juncture.
To move forward, we must continually ask God to renew our minds with the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us through the Scriptures and guides us into all truth.
Warning against the temptation to view doctrine as divisive, he said that ecumenical dialogue advances not only through an exchange of ideas, but by sharing in mutually enriching gifts.
An idea aims a truth. A gift expresses love. Both are essential to dialogue. Opening ourselves to accept spiritual gifts from other Christians quickens our ability to perceive the light of truth which comes from the Holy Spirit.
Personally, my favorite line of the morning is the following. The universality of human experience, said the Pope, makes it possible for followers of religions to engage in dialogue so as to grapple with the mystery of life's joys and sufferings. Maybe it's that evocative verb, grapple, that does it. Or maybe it's just the idea of the mystery of it all. But still, I'm glad I was there to hear it.
Sean was also on hand on Friday afternoon for one of the hallmark events of all World Youth Days, the reenactment of the Way of the Cross. This time, not just a mere photo opportunity, but an impeccable visual performance.
The reenactment of the Way of the Cross is one of the highlights of the World Youth Day tradition. There have been more or less spectacular performances, like the one involving hundreds of performers that took over the streets of the financial district in Toronto, Canada, in 2002. Or historical representations, like the one that wound its way past the Imperial Forums towards the Colosseum during World Youth Day in Rome in the year 2000. There have also been controversial versions, like the one that was staged inside the stadium of Denver in the United States during World Youth Day 1993. The scandal, inverted commas, was caused by the fact that Jesus was portrayed by a young woman. I remember at the time the organizers claimed theirs was an artistic choice made in order to stress the universal value of our Lord's sacrifice.
The agony of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane.
They came to a small estate called Gethsemane.
No whiff of unorthodoxy surrounded this enactment of the Stations of the Cross in Sydney. Apparently, even the texts, written by a professor of literature at Melbourne University, who's also a Jesuit, were sent off to the Jewish community to ensure there was nothing potentially offensive in them. The result was impeccable, politically correct and liturgically correct, which was what really mattered, since the Pope was watching on television from inside the cathedral.
Fifth station. Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns.
What mattered to the estimated 250,000 people who followed the event here in the streets of Sydney was that the city was literally transformed. The green lawns of Hyde Park became Gethsemane. The columned portico of the art gallery became the Sanhedrin. The sail-like cupolas of the opera house were Pilate's palace. Braziers burned, and Roman legionaries marched to the sound of various musical genres. What wasn't especially composed for the occasion went from gospel to Gregorian chant, from rock to pop, and even indigenous music.
His own cross, Jesus went out of the city to the place of the skull, or as it is called in Hebrew, Golgotha.
Mm-hmm. different forms of artistic language were employed. Song, dance, mime, with spectacular lighting effects that culminated with Jesus being crucified against a backdrop of Sydney Harbour and the setting sun.
Jesus dies on the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
It comes as no surprise to discover that before being ordained a priest 10 years ago, the mind behind this extravaganza, Don Franco Cavarra, directed operas, both here and in Spoleto. Once again, though, the unrivaled protagonist of the moment was the city of Sydney, transformed for the occasion into a Jerusalem of the 21st century, where Jesus continues to live, suffer, and die in our modern-day metropolis. With the Pope in Australia, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And while our thanks there go to Sean Patrick Lovett, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.